So the Mishnah that we're up to, Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, introduces us to a number of different concepts, and we'll focus our chabura primarily on one of them. But obviously, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph is a rich and full Daf as well, and the Mishnah is not till the bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. So we still have a whole Amud of Gemara still to analyze the other issues in the Mishnah. But just to review, there are a few issues in the Mishnah which will need to be further discussed. We have the halacha of the shofar in the Beis Hamikdash, and the idea of the chatzotros. When are the chatzotros blown? Trumpets, exactly, silver, gold, in the Beis HaMikdash, which holidays, which types of days, fast days versus Yom Kippur, the Yovel, that's all one and two issues. And then, of course, we have the one that we're going to be focusing on, not so much at the time of year, Rosh Hashanah, Yovel, or fast days, or even Beis HaMikdash, 2 points, but specifically number three, the Mishnah is discussing the type of shofar that you use, Min Vitzura, right, the species. Ya'al Zcharim, and also, of course, the issue of Pashut versus Kafuf, straight versus bent. And on that important point, we had two opinions in the Mishnah. The Tanakhama says that both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are Pashut, and Rabbi Yehuda says a split decision, right? What's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita? Excellent, right? The Zcharim or Kafuf on Rosh Hashanah, and Pashut, the Ya'al, on Yom Kippur. The Gemara introduces us right away to a third shita, the shita of Rabbi Levi, who says that what? What's Rabbi Levi's shita? Right, he equates again Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but unlike the Tanakhama, he holds that they are both going to be kafuf. What is the basis of the equation between Yom Kippur or Yovel and Rosh Hashanah? Where on Daf? Lamedalid, right? Zershev on Lamedalid. The Rishonim here already with Rashi quote that. If you had a chance to look it inside, Shvi'i, the connection between the Yom Kippur Yovel, which obviously is in the same month, the Shvi'i, as the Rosh Hashanah. So just like we know that there's a shofar blown there, we also know that there's a shofar blown here. And therefore, that's why we have two out of the three opinions that equate. How to understand Rebbe Yehuda and the fact that he splits Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which seems to be against that equation of the Gemara, is something that occupies a little bit of the attention of the Rishonim. Rashi on the Mishnah, in a kind of offhand comment, says, how does Rabbi Yehuda deal with this? Rashi in the Mishnah notes this. He's the first one.
Yeah, it doesn't have exertion.
He rejects it. Lo Gamir, he rejected it. There are other Rishonim who say, not as extreme, I think the Rush said he didn't reject the whole thing. Come on, you know, Zershon was based on Torah. His Rebbe had it, but maybe he didn't think that all of it had to come across. And in fact, that's going to be a big part of the issue, if you saw in the Tosafot as well, how much do we learn as well. Anyway, that's the basic, just, you know, what are the facts, who are we talking about? In terms of the Rishonim being Menateach, analyzing and organizing the sugya for us, we basically have one fundamental question that the Rishonim are bothered by, which is? Sorry? Correct. That's correct. But what's another way of saying it? Also, okay, no, I didn't mean a synonym. I meant there's another way of just putting it, which is maybe even more basic. You're right. Everything you said is right.
How to reconcile the two
Mishnayos. Right. What's the relationship between the first two Mishnayos? Or exactly the second and third of the parak, but the first two Mishnayos that we've learned, Chavav Amud Aleph and Chavav Amud Beis, right? Before I left, we had one Chabura on the first Mishnah, Kol HaShofros Ksheros Chutz Mishel Para. So that Mishnah says all Shofros are kosher. As long as it's not a para, as long as it's not called a keren, as long as it's not kategor nasa sanegor, then it's okay. And yet this Mishnah seems to say, depending on what shita you hold like, it either has to dafka be straight or dafka be bent. Now I formulate it that way because another nuance noted by the Rishonim, as I said before, they discuss within one word, when the one opinion says ya'al, the other one says hoshet, the Rishonim point out, there's really 2 points here, right? Min Vitzura, there's the species, and then there's the shape. And pretty much, unless I miss somebody, I think all the Rishonim who discussed it all mentioned that those two are not the same thing. Meaning that even though the min that's mentioned by the different shitot is lav dafka, what's really important is the tzura, right? What do I mean? That even the opinion that says ya'al doesn't really mean it can only be ya'al, it means it has to be straight. But it could be another species that also has a straight horn. And even the opinion that says it has to be kafuf Doesn't mean it has to be from a ram, a zecharim, or a keves, but it could be from any bent thing. So even though the actual opinions are cited in a succinct kind of way, just Ya'al, and we know both points, the Rishonim all say this, the Ramban, the Ritva, if I'm not mistaken, right, the Rosh, they all say, the Ran, that it's Lav Dafka, the species, the meaning is Lav Dafka, but it's the Tzura, what's important. So therefore, basically, to rephrase, again, how do we understand the relationship between the two Mishnahs? One Mishnah seems to say that anything, no matter what the Tzura, no matter what the form is kosher, and our Mishnah seems to say it's a Machlokes, but you got to pick one or the other. And now, you see, now I would frame it the way you did, which is, so when we have this contradiction in Mishnayos, one possibility, right, you know, I'm in his seat, right, methodology 101, either it's a machlokes, and then we'll have to pick who to paskin like, that's what you meant when you said bidyeved or li'ikuva, and what's the alternative to saying that it's a contradiction and that we have to pick? You said it already. They're both true, and they're operating on different levels, right? This is, you know, Lumdus 101, but here we have that really, again, if you're reading the Rishonim carefully, that's what's going on here, right? Seemingly contradictory Mishnayos, either we view them as, in fact, contradictory, and then we'll just have to paskin like one or the other, but whichever one we don't paskin like, it's bidyeved, it's la'akev, it has to be, or we'll come up with a system where we can actually accept both Mishnayos. Now, before we get into the actual words of the Rishonim, there's a third opinion that's out there, a third source in Chazal, not on our daf, but earlier, daf tezayin, and was that? The famous Rabbi Avoh, who says specifically, what do we need? Right, we specifically need that of a ram's horn, because we want a Kedis Yitzchak. So there, again, our Gemara doesn't address that, but our Rishonim do, right? So if it's not complicated enough between the two Mishnayos and Daf Chavav, right, we also want to know, where do we have an even more specific Makor, the idea that it has to be Dafka, a ram's horn, where did that fit in? Okay, so that's basically what the Rishonim all occupy themselves with here in the second half of Chavav Amud Beis. And I gave you quite a few Rishonim to look at, or call them hopefully on your own, just the basic Rishonim. The one Rishon, which you may not have looked at, which is not part of the usual Seder Halimud here, of, you know, Ritva and maybe Ran or Rush, the one Rishon who is really, on some level, really the most important, is actually the Ramban. Again, it's not part of this Limud to quote-unquote require it, and I don't really put it on the sheet, especially if it's quoted by other Rishonim, but just so you should know, pretty much all the Rishonim, certainly the Chachmai Sfarad, they're all working off of the Ramban, both in the Chidushim and in his Drasha. If you want to take a look at further, you can. Again, it's pretty much succinctly summarized by the Rosh, the Ran, the Ritva. You do get but you should just know it's all coming from the Ramban. Tosfos is just chronologically, he's not based off of the Ramban, obviously, even though there's a lot of similarity as well. So when you look at all of the Rishonim on our Daf, and if you saw the Ramban, great, but if not, it's okay. Basically, we have two approaches, which can really be reduced to the beginning and the end of Tosos. Right? I think some of you were speaking to me yesterday, Tosos was confusing, right? Did he contradict himself? So I don't think he's contradicting himself, but Tosos did apparently change his mind, and pretty dramatic pivot, with not that much fanfare, right? You would expect like Tosos to, like, you know, trumpet, you know, I just went back on like 13 or 14 lines you broke your head on, and then and it's like, whoa, what just happened, right? He took a sly move, right? So some of you might have caught it right away. Some of you may need to reread it to catch it. What's going on? So let's start off with Tosfos, and then we'll see how the other Rishonim fit in. So first of all, what's the, I guess we could call it the Havamin, or the first approach. What's the first approach of Tosfos? Which one? To say what? What does Tosfos say? That it's all L'charchila and Bidyeved. How many proofs does Tosfos quote for that? Anyone count? Which one? You going with four? I think three. Anyone else want to weigh in? What's behind door number three?
Exactly a bunch.
The reason I mention that, well, you could disagree with me. We could reread it again. As I think, if you look in the other Rishonim who agree with the first part of Tosfos, you will find four proofs. But I think only three of them are actually in Tosfos. So what's the first proof that Tosfos gives? We're about halfway down. He says, Teda de la mitzvah pligi, right? It's not really b'dieved, la'akev, there's no contradiction. It's just l'chachila, la mitzvah, l'chachila. What's the first proof Tosus gives? The lush, it's a diuk in the lush of the Gemara.
You mean
Levi Mitzvah.
Right, Rabbi Levi Mitzvah Amar. The Rishonim often, although not everyone hold, you know, there are examples that are, could be brought as counterproofs to this. But here, at least, all the Rishonim who take this approach say Rabbi Levi's Lashon of Mitzvah Amar sounds Mitzvah L'Chadchila, but Mitzvah as opposed to Chiyuv. Right? Sometimes we have that distinction. So the very fact Rabbi Levi says Mitzvah, the assumption is that that's not the basis of the argument. Therefore, let's just go through a little bit of it. That's one argument. Again, whether any one of them are compelling, right? Often when you have multiple questions or multiple answers or multiple proofs, it's itself an indication that none of them are ironclad. But obviously, as in other areas of life, lahavdil, certainly it's true in learning, right? You can accumulate lots of little proofs and they can add up to something pretty solid and compelling. So the first proof of Tosfos was just the Lashon of Rabbi Levi. He says it's a mitzvah, that's a Lashon of L'chadchila, and there's no indication that he was arguing in that point, at least, on the Tanaim in the Mishnah. Okay, what's Tosfos' second argument, right away, end of the line, the Ode? Not a diak in the Gemara, but a diak in the Torah. Right, the words Pashut and Kafuf are not in the Torah, right? Shofar, one way or another, by some Gzer Shava, gets into the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. But shofar, in theory, could be either one. They're kinds of shofar. So the fact that the Torah just says shofar without giving such a specific reference to the shape, says Tosfos, that's another indication that this is at best a l'chadchila and not a bidyevid. Okay, what was the third argument? A few lines down. Right, Ve'od Mashma, the Pluksa de Rabbanu Rabbi Yossi, Bifnei Atzman. Excellent. The Pluksa de Rabbanu Rabbi Yehuda, Bifnei Atzman. Ve'lav Chada Pluksa Hi. In other words, if we see this as a contradiction, so to speak, what we're really saying is it's one unified sugya. So the either should be in one Mishnah, not two. Or even if for whatever reason it's in a second Mishnah, but there should be some language in our Mishnah indicating the continuity, the continuation. The fact that they're mentioned in two Mishnayos without any reference one to the other, says Tosfos, that would indicate that we're dealing with just Samad Yatz L'Chadchila, two separate things, and we can't have a contradiction, so it must be that they're operating on different levels. Sometimes if you want a helpful metaphor, or at least something that helps me to think about these types of Makorot, is if you imagine two planes, right? If two planes are both flying over Tel Aviv at the exact same moment, how come they didn't crash? The answer is they were operating at different altitudes. Right? You can pass over the same access point but not be contradictory if you're operating on different levels, talking about different things. So that's what Tosfos basically says. The two Mishnayos are overlapping, but they're not contradictory because they're operating on two different levels, two different altitudes. One's on the Bidyeved and one is on the L'chadchila. Okay? Now, yes, questions before we go on.
Just to understand the terms, is there a difference between mitzvah min ha-mubchar and the chadchila in terms of its halakhic status?
Hypothetically, no. But in this case, the answer is going to be yes.
So when it says mitzvah here, the first proof of Tosva, when it said mitzvah,
he's using that.
Is that the chadchila or mitzvah min ha-mubchar?
Again, you can't pin me down, I don't think, in an ironclad way. But generally, L'chadchila or mitzvah would be more necessary than mitzvah min ha-mubchar. And that's actually how the Rishonim do use it here. Okay, we're going to get to it in a second, okay? Then, what happens, of course, without much warning, Tosfos says, Umiha kashak tzas. Anyone see the Rush? How does the Rush describe this question? Kushya chalusha. Right, one person's ksas is another person's chalusha. Right. At least Tosfos, you know, it wasn't like a direct insult, because even Tosfos was, you know, hedging. So the Rush just says, what are you talking about? You had three great proofs, and you're going to walk away from that from one weak proof? So we'll get back to Tosfos' proof in a second, but let's T.O., time out, and let's just review. So who else basically takes this approach? Again, famously, the Ramban, and then the other Rishonim that you saw, who are basically digesting the Ran, the Rush, and the Ritva, more or less just digesting the Shita of the Ritva. In those Rishonim, I think you have a fourth proof, right? It's those Rishonim, unless I missed it in Tosfos, they add a proof, which is that the Gemara and Daf Lamed Daled learns the Gzer Shava of Rosh Hashanah from Yom Kippur, And the assumption is, once we have the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who splits, if it's really Gzer Shava, and if it would be operating on a Me'ikar Adin level, so then how could you split? It would have to come across, whichever one you held, Pashut or Kafuf, but it would be impossible to split. If you assume that everything we're talking about is on a Ma'akev B'dievin L'Ikuva level, so wouldn't the Gzer Shava mean it's one or the other, all for one and one for all, or not? But you can't split. The very fact that you can have a Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that splits indicates that we're docking on a L'Chachil level. So that's an interesting proof, somewhat similar to the first thing that Toso said, which is, just like Tosos was medayik in Rabbi Levi, and the assumption was, well, what's true about Rabbi Levi must be true for everyone. Here we have something which is, I think, a little bit weaker. Maybe that's why Tosos didn't quote it, but it's similar, right? Note the similarity, but also the weakness. It's similar in that it's taking something about one of the Shitos and assuming it's true for everybody. The very fact that he could split shows that we must be talking about something that's not cave. Of course, what could you easily say? Or that's goof of the machlokes. In other words, to apply that to the other two who don't split, because he splits, that shows that the other two who don't split agree with his conceptual basis for splitting. If that was the only proof, you know, I wouldn't be so intimidated. You hear what I'm saying? Okay, so it is the fourth one mentioned in the other Rishonim. Maybe, I have no way of knowing, maybe that's why Tosos didn't mention it. But either way, that is a fourth proof. Bottom line, when you look at the various Rishonim, the Ramban has a famous phrase which is quoted by the Rush, the Ran, and others. What does he say? Shlosh, or Shloshah, depending on which one you saw. Shlosh Midos Bashofar. Right? To sum it all up, and to bring in the Gemara and Tazayin with what is in essence the first opinion, or Havamin, however you want to call it, of Tosfos. In essence, if you put it all together, we have, says the Ramban and those Rishonim who are basically paraphrasing him, three levels. Shlosh Midos. What are the three levels? Let's start from the beginning. Number one is the Ma'akev one, not Para. Exactly. That's Me'ikr Hadin, Mid Araisa. They're all good except for Para, and according to Rabbi Yossi, even the Para is good. But that's the first level. That's what we saw in Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph. What's the second level? Mitzvah lecharchila, some say explicitly the Rabbanon, but mitzvah lecharchila, and the mitzvah and lecharchila, that's level two. And what is that? Kofof, it should be burnt. I'm saying level two is, it's not enough. A yal is kosher mikradin. Right? It's not a para, but it's straight. But level two is our Mishnah. Lecharchila, we paskin, it should be kofof. And then we have the third level, the shalosh midos, the third level, which is Rabbi Avohu, which is mitzvah, which is the third level is the ram's horn, which is just mitzvah min hamuvchar, and some rishonim let you know clearly that's the third level, because they don't just use the word mitzvah min hamuvchar, they use another word because of the letter mem. Not mitzvah, but not even minhag. Did you catch that? Some of the rishonim use the term minhag. In other words, Rabbi Avohu was saying, listen, l'chachila, you should use a bent horn. But there's so many options. I mean, I really don't know how many there are, but whatever. However, there are more than one. So how come? You look around. Even the time of Chazal, Rabbi Bo says, and everyone's using the ram's horn. So he explains that beautiful Gemara, Daf Tezayin, to get the zechus of Akedas Yitzchak. But that is mitzvah min hamuvchar, or maybe even just a minhag. Why is it that we do that? And the answer is because of that. So these are all basically ways of saying we have not a contradiction, but operating on levels. One Mishnah on the Ma'akev level, one Mishnah on the Lachachila level, and then the third, the Rabbi Avohu, just a mitzvah min hamuvchar and the minhag. Everyone with me? Now, let's get back to Tosus. Tosus rejects all of this beautiful tripartite structure, seamlessly organizing and assimilating all this seemingly contradictory evidence, and like this, with the back of his hand, Tosus rejects it. What was bothering Tosus? What caused Tosus? What was his kushik tzas? No, there's a gzer shava, but what about it? That's ikra chaser mena sefer. You have to tell me what you...
Excellent.
Says Tosfos, let me just rephrase, make sure everyone understood. the fact that we blow a kufuf on Yom Kippur, what's the only reason for that? It must be from the Gzer Shavah Rosh Hashanah, because there's nothing inherent to Yom Kippur, right? Adarabba, Yom Kippur is more let everyone go free, maybe Pashut. So the fact that we do it could only be from the Gzer Shavah. Okay, now that, I think, is uncontroversial. What's the one extra step that Tosos makes, which obviously the other Rishonim didn't? Tosos assumes, and the Rosh explicitly argues on this point, Tosos assumes that we only make the Gzer Shava all the way to Yom Kippur, even though it otherwise has no connection, what's Yom Kippur got to do with Kafuf? We would only do that if we were dealing with something that was Mikra Hadin, that was Ma'akev. Because if you're dealing with Gzer Shava on such a level, then logic is irrelevant. It's just Gzer Shava, right? Plow through. If you tell me that it's only a L'charchila, like all the other Rishonim, like Tosos originally thought, so then Tosos assumes, and this is kind of like an inner workings of Gzer Shava thing, Tosos assumes that you wouldn't have applied with Gzer Shava something which is anyway only L'charchila, anyway only Derabbanan, unless it makes sense. The Derabbanan, the mitzvah, the L'charchila is the cherry on top, right? But if this is, I don't know, what doesn't go with the cherry on top? I don't know, an apple pie, right? No one puts a cherry on top on apple pie, do they? I never had a cherry on top of an apple pie. Did anybody? So we'll go with that. Right, you don't put the cherry on top unless it goes. Cherry on top goes onto your ice cream sundae, goes on a chocolate cake. That's a cherry on top. You wouldn't put it on apple pie. So says Tosos, when you're talking about the cherry on top, we would only carry it over to Yovel if it was Mikra Din, was the cake itself. It was an essential ingredient. But just to put a cherry on top, you're not helping anything if it's against the theme. Elamai, the fact that we do bring it over, it must mean that we're not dealing with cherry on top, but the cake is up. Now the other Rishonim, the Rosh, the Ran, the others you saw, they all say, like Lav Davka, who said, once you have the Gzer Shava, we just bring it all across. Right? So is this just a very, very technical mechanism of Gzer Shava Machlokes? Maybe. That's certainly above my pay grade if it is. I don't know, I'm not enough an expert in these kind of things, but it's possible. Or it's just more of this fundamental machlokes, which, you know, the Rishonim are playing out on the level of how did Gzer Shava work. Either way, though, we have that machlokes. Just have a few minutes left, so let's just hit the Rambam and the Ravid. Right, how does this play out there? And on steroids. Right? Hillel's right. So the Rambam Paskin's like, everyone beats up on Tosfos, but the Rambam, you know, he doesn't mind being unconventional and unpopular. The Rambam Paskin's like that. But the Rambam goes one step further. Why? Why did I say steroids? Right, he Paskin's like the bottom of Tosfos and Rabbi Yavo. Yeah, it's a female. But I think the way the Lechamishna and the other, and even the right, it seems to be, and there's no other basis for it unless it was. No, about what he means?
On the grounds that it doesn't say Tzchali, and therefore we can't be referring to Rabbi Abba, so he's clearly just saying that Keves happens to be a common animal with a couple of points.
Right. Okay. That's possible.
But he just doesn't say Tzchali.
Right. Right. You're right. That's well noted. Lamaisa, most of those who defend him, and especially those who attack him, understood that he was going all the way. And of course, the Ravid has one of his classic lines. Hifriz alamidos. You know, what are you doing? You're going too far. You know, I guess in the top 10 of Ravids, and maybe it gets in, it's certainly not the top 5, but for anyone else, you know, it would be like, whoa, stay back, man, down boy. You know, it's a little personal there, but that's the love that they had for each other. And the Ravid just says, what are you talking about? The whole thing is, you know, the Ravid goes with the basic Rishonim. Even Kafuf, let alone Keves or Zachar, are only L'chachila or Mitzvah Minamuvchar. That's important to note as well. The Lechem Mishnah does try, I would say again, B'dochuk, but Lechem Mishnah assumes that even though the Rambam says Kofof is Ma'akev, but he says that it's only Drabanon, not Midaraisa, which is an interesting combination, which would take care of 3 out of the 4 proofs. But it's a Dochuk anyway in the Rambam, and it wouldn't take care of all of the proofs. So that's the bottom line. Last but not least, let's just end with the Makoros I gave while I was away, which is, I put in parentheses on the sheet, I don't know if anyone looked at it, either today or yesterday or last week, but this from Rav Soloveitchik and the Harei Kedem. So he connects everything we just saw, particularly the Rambam, with the Makoros I gave you last week, which you have Shofar being a Kiyum in Tefillah. Right? Now the basis of all of this, I don't know, is of course, is Rashi, right? Rashi is reading, if you look at Rashi on the Mishnah and the Gemara, every possible way Rashi reads in Tefillah. Even the Gemara, which we didn't even discuss, at the end of the Amud, where it discusses what's the basis of the Kafa versus Pashut. And the Gemara says, right, Kol Kama De Kaif, and Kol Kama De, what is the other phrase? Kol Kama De Pashut. Right, but there's no explicit reference to Tefillah there. Right? The Gemara doesn't use the word Tefillah. Just in general, Rosh Hashanah, better to be bent or better to be straight. So Rashi, again, Rashi, everyone kind of is so biased by this Rashi, you can almost forget that it's not in the Gemara. Everyone assumes that the Gemara was referring to Tefillah, and the Gemara, where was it, in Yevamos, I think? Where does Rashi quote those psukim from? It's a Gemara itself that has a machlokas. How should you be in davening? And the Gemara quotes it from psukim, which Rashi lifts from that Gemara and puts here. So Rashi is clearly seeing, making the equation between shofar and tefillah, and just like there's a certain posture we should have for tefillah, that should be reflected in the tzura of the shofar. So Rav Soloveitchik is going with this, and Rav Soloveitchik points out some interesting discrepancy. From the fact that the Rambam holds the kaf of Isma'akev, he holds that this idea of tefillah and the correct posture for tefillah is ma'akev. It's not just a hidur, as Rav says, not just a hidur in shofar. It's not just a razzle-dazzle brisker Torah. It's not just a nice hashkafa, machshava. It's a din. It's really ma'akev. So if that's the case, Rav Soloveitchik, what was the question he asked? Who saw? Kavana, right? The Gemara is going to say, we'll have to get to these Gemaras more in depth when we get to them, but just for now, the Gemara says that if you're tokei al-ashir, you're just practicing a musical instrument, and you happen to blow perfect tekiya, trua, tekiya, or whatever the case may be, you could be yotzei. Now clearly there was no kavana there. So what was our Soloveitchik's answer? Very fascinating. Anyone remember? What was the Soloveitchik's answer? Yes, correct. So what's ma'akev? He distinguishes between. Well, that's true, but I'm saying on this point. How does he resolve? On the one hand, you need to have a kafuf according to the Rambam, it's ma'akev without being kafuf, but that's as a tefillah. Yet we know tefillah usually needs kavana. The Rambam is famous for that. And yet here, tokei l'shir is good. Well, if you didn't see the Rav, then what do you think on your own? Okay. It doesn't get blown by itself.
It's being the instrument that represents tefillah, but the tefillah is not coming as the tefillah.
Okay, you're almost there. You're almost there. What do you think?
The whole couple thing is about the shofar itself, not the tekiah, the shofar.
Good. So I'll just put together what you guys are trying to say, or Soloveitchik said it, is there's the cheft of the shofar itself. So that has to be ro'ui and representative of the correct posture of tefillah. That must be. But the maisa, I don't think he uses chefza gavra, but he uses kind of chefza maisa. But the maisa tekiya, that l'chachila should be something that would be good for tefillah, but that is not ma'akev. Somehow the chef, it's more b'sisi, it's more fundamental that the chefetz, that the chefza of the shofar itself be an expression of the proper posture of tefillah than the person himself. I think logically I would have thought, if anything, the opposite, personally. But just dealing with the evidence that we have, that's the answer he's left with. And he brings a proof. Anyone recall the proof? Or is the parallel to this? Lulav, right? MTB guys, you learned this last year, you learned Sukkah. So the Gemara said, how big does the lulav have to be? So what's ma'akev? Enough that you could do na'anuim with it. You could shake the lulav. Right? Shake, rattle, and roll. But let's say you didn't. Let's say you just were ma'akbe the lulav and you didn't do the thingy. But you have your yotzei. What do you mean? The definition of the lulav requires nanuim, and you didn't do it. But yet you're saying you don't have to do nanuim. Yes, exactly. The same kind of asymmetry. There's a difference between the cheftza of the lulav and what you do the maisa, the kiyum of the maisa of taking the lulav. So there's a phrase. Maybe you're familiar with this. Often it's used. Although I don't think Rav Soloveitchik quoted it on this piece. Called roi labila. Do you know that phrase? So that basically, I think, is what's going on here, right? The shofar must represent that ideal. Once the shofar represents it, is roi labila, then whether you did it or not as an ideal form of tefillah is less ma'akev. Just like, similarly, the lulav must be roi for nanuim, whether you did them whether you did them or not. All right, let's stop here. Anyone who wants to ask me questions.